Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Rick Grinnell, who runs FixCalifornia.com, joins us, talks a little bit about Nord Stream 2. We also dive in with Marjorie Taylor Greene of what should Republicans do if we take back the House? Should we have Democrats on committees? And I ask her, why was she at Kevin McCarthy's event? I'm not saying that in an accusatory way. We got a lot of questions about that. I thought she gave a really pleasant answer. As always, you can email me freedom@charliekirk.com. Support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Start high school chapters, start college chapters, tpusa.com. I'm going on tour, so go to tpusa.com/tour. UT Austin, Grand Canyon University, University of North Carolina, Charlotte, University of Missouri, Kansas City, and more. tpusa.com/tour. That's tpusa.com/tour. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. There's a lot of confusion around this Nord Stream issue, and no better person to help us kind of understand it than someone who served in the region and was intimately involved in trying to protect American interests and Western interests as ambassador to Germany, and then also ran the Director of National Intelligence. It's Rick Grinnell, a great patriot who also has a very important organization about fixing California. And you guys can go to the events at fixcalifornia.com. That is fixcalifornia.com. Rick Grinnell is with us. Rick, let's just start with that before we get into the Russian and Nord Stream issue, which will definitely take us some time. Tell us about what you're doing to try to fix California.
Great, Charlie. Thanks for having me. As you know, I have not given up on California. And I believe that we can actually win this if you give us a couple of years. We found 1.4 million conservatives in a quick way. I mean, honestly, we didn't dig very deep. And we found 1.4 million conservatives sitting on the sidelines in California, unregistered to vote. Think about that. 1.4 million easily found, and they're just not registered. And it's the self-fulfilling prophecy, because when you live in California, and you're constantly heard, you know, hearing Gavin Newsom's far left policies and the media trumpeting them as amazing. And then you're watching elections and you see immediately at right as the polls close, the national media call the state for the Democrats. And it starts to get frustrating. But last year, about a year and a half ago, I decided to put together a plan to do what Stacey Abrams did to Georgia. We're going to do to California. And so we've hired all the right people, the people who worked for DeSantis and Rick Scott and who have done amazing work in Florida. And we are doing a digital operation. We have a really cool two rallies this weekend, one in Newport in Southern California and one in Fairfield in Northern California. We have this really cool system. You can scan a QR code that will take you to our site, and we will show you people in your neighborhood we're conservative. We've identified as conservative. We're unregistered. And if we can kind of do this group attack of finding conservatives in California and getting them registered, you give us a couple of years and we're going to change things.
It.
We certainly this fall will make a dent. We've been registering like crazy, and we'll have tens of thousands of new conservatives registered by the time November comes.
It is such a tragedy what the Democrats have done to California. It is a slice of heaven. It truly is in so many different ways. And it has only been destroyed by politics. And so, Rick, we're behind you with that. It's fixcalifornia.com. Rick, how should we think about this industrial sabotage, this military operation that went after Nord Stream? How should we process this? What do you think the media is missing? The floor is yours.
So, Charlie, as you know, there's, you know, some things I can't say, obviously, after serving as director of national intelligence. Let me just start with a couple of overall general points. One, President Trump and when I was U.S. ambassador to Germany, we believed very clearly that having Nord Stream 2, the Russian pipeline, was too much leverage for Russia over Europe. Now, it's important to note that Nord Stream 1, the pipeline, is a pipeline that we think is part of the diversification of Europe's energy. I think some Russian energy is appropriate for Europe. We need to make sure it's diversified. It's not just concentrating on wind or hydrogen or one source. We need an all of the above, and including Middle East gas, American US LNG, and some Russian gas is appropriate for Europe. But Nord Stream 2 went too far. And so President Trump was very clear with Chancellor Merkel and others to say, don't do this. Russia is going to have leverage over you. We were told constantly and mocked by the media that we didn't have it right and that somehow Chancellor Merkel could control Putin. And what we saw is a disaster. And let's be very clear, Charlie, that when the Biden administration came in, Chancellor Merkel's government, the Biden administration, and Senate Democrats all got together and dropped the Trump sanctions on the Russian pipeline. Now, think about that. They came in, and if you read their statements back then, they said, we are dropping the sanctions on Nord Stream 2 on the Russian pipeline that, that Trump had in place. And Democrats said they are doing it because they believed that it was making things worse. What a strategic miscalculation blunder. And quickly, we saw after the Democrats and the Joe Biden administration took those sanctions off that Nord Stream 2 pipeline, it gave Putin a green light to go into Ukraine. It signaled weakness. And we saw a war in Ukraine specifically because the Biden administration, Chancellor Merkel, and Senate Democrats dropped these sanctions. They miscalculated and they caused a war. And I can't be any more clear about that. We are now faced with billions of dollars that we are funding in Ukraine for this strategic blunder.
It's unbelievable.
No diplomatic solution whatsoever. It's outrageous.
So, Rick, I know you have to be careful with what you say, and I totally respect that, but can you at least give us some formula of how to think about this or how to look to who's responsible? Because some people are saying, the intelligence community is saying Russia was behind this. And if that is true, let me ask it this way, because then you might be able to answer this. Would it make rational sense for Russia to destroy their own pipeline? Can you walk us through, if that were to be true, what would the rationale behind that be? Because I'm struggling to understand that.
Look, I'm very skeptical of Russia. I don't believe Putin. I've been on the record as being very anti-Russia. The Russians hate me for my work in Germany. But I will say this, they've come out and they've denied the fact. And again, we don't always believe them, but they've denied the fact that they did anything to the pipeline. They've always believed that they needed this pipeline for money. So I make that point very clearly. But also Joe Biden has been clear that he wanted to destroy the pipeline. That clip is out there.
Yeah,
where he has said that he was going to destroy the pipeline. And he's even kind of dared and said, you know, mark my words. And,
let's play that
and did
clip.
This bluster.
Yeah, because, I mean, so Rick, I haven't had anyone explain to me why Russia would destroy their own pipeline that they benefit from economically. And so then if it's not Russia, well, then who? I mean, some people say China. I don't know if that makes any sense to me, nor do I think they have a presence in that region. Maybe they do. But let's play that clip, guys. I'm trying to find it here. We had, I think it's cut 83, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that's right, cut 83.
If Germany, if Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
How will you do that exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control?
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
That doesn't really instill confidence in the American government's handling of this.
Well, not only that, I think the media are shameless for not pushing back and saying, wait a minute, you're the one who dropped the sanctions here. You're the one who created this active pipeline. And now suddenly we've got these problems. Look, the reality is it never should have gone forward. Donald Trump would have never allowed the sanctions to be dropped. The pressure would have been on Putin, and we would not have had a war in Ukraine if Donald Trump were in the office.
It's just terrible. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Iron Man thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the three-week quick start too, discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. Let's play some sound here from Donald Trump, who this is how he used to talk to these people, Merkel and many others. This is just over a meal, NATO meeting, Trump pointing how it's ridiculous that Germany will buy energy from Russia while America protects them. Play cut 107.
Well, I have to say, I think it's very sad when Germany makes a massive oil and gas deal with Russia, where you're supposed to be guarding against Russia, and Germany goes out and pays billions and billions of dollars a year to Russia. So we're protecting Germany, we're protecting France, we're protecting all of these countries. And then numerous of the countries go out and make a pipeline deal with Russia, where they're paying billions of dollars into the coffers of Russia.
You were probably there, Rick, you know, at that meeting or tangentially to that. Straight to the Germans' face, your reaction of how things have changed.
Well, that was a NATO meeting, and you see Jens Stoltenberg, the NATO head, sitting across from President Trump. And he has been extremely complimentary of President Trump, saying thank you for the billions of dollars that have come in to NATO since Trump was really the leverage to tell countries pay your fair share. And so, you know, I have been in the meetings with Merkel, with Chancellor Merkel, where the president said, look, I don't blame you trying to make the American taxpayer pay for your safety, but it's not smart. You need to pay your bill. And by the way, you're feeding the beast when you don't pay your bill at NATO. And at the same time, you're giving money and doing deals with Russia, which is why NATO started to exist in the first place. And so the hypocrisy was called out by President Trump. And, you know, I'm not breaking any news when I tell you that President Trump once sent Chancellor Merkel a white flag. And she was a little confused as to what that meant. We had to explain to her that meant that you're literally giving up and waving the white flag, surrendering to Russia. I think we were very tough. We were constantly pushing. But we didn't get any help from the media, the German media, the European media, or the American media. They celebrated Chancellor Merkel. And I think it's time that we have a debate about the 16 years of Merkelism. I think that it made Europe less safe and it's caused wars. And certainly we know this to be true, that part of the legacy of Chancellor Merkel is that the EU is smaller. Brexit happened because she couldn't control immigration and have rules. A rules-based system, and the Brits said, we're out of here. And we saw the rewriting of European borders a couple of times, Crimea and other places, under Chancellor Merkel's leadership. So the EU got smaller and less powerful, and that, I think, goes straight to Chancellor Merkel. And also, now that we see this pipeline disabled, I think, you know, this is a huge moment for a waste of money and a waste of time for Russian energy. And this is going to come back to bite them. really, they're not prepared.
Really quick, I want to get your reaction to Victoria Nuland in January saying the following, Cut 89.
With regard to Nord Stream 2, we continue to have very strong and clear conversations with our German allies, and I want to be clear with you today. If Russia invades Ukraine, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward.
What a blunder. This is the same person who lobbied to have the sanctions fall. I mean, at what point are the media in Washington going to say, wait a minute, you caused a war, you dropped the sanctions, now we've got this pipeline that's been disabled, a total disaster of foreign policy. And yet, the reason why they'll do it again and they'll make these mistakes, strategic mistakes, is because there's no pushback from the mainstream media in Washington.
Zero.
And so there's no consequences.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they're mistakes. I hope it's not intentional international sabotage. I really hope you're right. Again, it's fixcalifornia.com. That is fixcalifornia.com. So check it out right now, fixcalifornia.com. Rick, thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie. All the best.
Appreciate it. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You've all helped build MyPillow into an amazing company that is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale and Giza Dream Bedsheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all now for sale for $29.98 with our listener promo code Kirk. Order now because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream Sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out on this incredible offer. There is limited supply, so make sure you order now. Call 800-875-0425 now and use promo code Kirk. Or go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, and they're known to sell out quickly, so use promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. That is MyPillow.com. With us right now is Marjorie Taylor Greene, one of the few fighters in Congress. Congresswoman Greene, welcome back to the program. I was pleased to see you at the announcement, I guess you could say, last week, that Kevin McCarthy had. Some people emailed us and they didn't like it, but tell us why you were there and your reaction to that press event.
Well, thank you so much, Charlie, and I really appreciate you having me on the show and asking me about this. The reason why I went to the release of the Commitment to America is because I believe Republicans have to have a plan to present to America while we also conduct oversight on every single committee and investigate the corruption and wrongdoing that's been done under Joe Biden and the Democrats. And so just being a former business owner, someone that has been very involved in making deals, creating contracts, selling jobs, solving problems, I believe in working with every single person I possibly can to achieve the best product and the best goals for the American people. And so I am supporting this because the Commitment to America is a national messaging plan for all Americans to understand these are the things that are important to the Republicans. This is what we're striving for. This is what we are committing to for all of America. For 2 years and leading into 2024, while we bring accountability and oversight and investigations and look into all the wrongdoings that have been done, like Dr. Anthony Fauci, the origins of COVID, the abuse of money that has been spent, everything that's happening in the Department of Justice, the FBI, people whose due process rights are being violated across the country in jails while they're awaiting trial for January 6th. I mean, the list can go on and on. Money that has been sent to Ukraine in this war, proxy war with Russia, and the wrongdoing that's been done there. I believe that we need to have a plan to present to the American people. And let me tell you something, Charlie, you can't make the plan the best it possibly should be if you're not willing to be there from the beginning and have a seat at the table. And so I'm very proud to have a seat at the table, and I'm proud to be working as hard as possible that when Republicans are in charge in January, I want to be a part of making sure the Commitment to America serves the American people first and is the best it possibly can be.
I think that's wise. Does that mean, Marjorie, that you will support Kevin McCarthy for Speaker if we take back the House?
We haven't had our speaker vote yet, Charlie. That's something that a lot of people ask about every single day. I'm here in Washington, D.C. when I walk into the Capitol to vote. And I have to tell you, my biggest focus right now is November 8th. And that's why I am supporting candidates all over the country. That's why I'm speaking at every single Trump rally that I can possibly fit into my schedule. That's why I'm working hand in hand with all of our great America First conservative candidates, because we have to fill up the House of Representatives with as many good Republicans as possible. And that's how we fire Nancy Pelosi, which is what I said the night I won my election. I said it with some different kinds of words, but I want to fire Nancy Pelosi. We need to take back the House. It's the only way that we can get on the right track to save America. But I will tell you this, as far as I know, Kevin McCarthy is the only person that has openly said that he is running for Speaker of the House when Republicans take it back.
So, Marjorie, I want to ask you about the oversight, because a lot of our listeners, they're pretty fired up about Republicans saying one thing and doing another. What would a proper oversight plan look like in January that would satisfy you? What committees, what commissions, what special committees? Because my fear, Marjorie, and I think you agree, is that we come out a little hot and then some of these, you know, committees kind of lose steam or we disassemble them. What is the list? What is the priority? What does success look like? And what should we as the MAGA base demand and not accept anything less than?
I really appreciate that question. That's one of the reasons why I ran for Congress, Charlie, is I got very mad at Republicans. I got mad at Republicans for not doing what they promised they would do every single time they were out on the campaign trail and every time they spoke on the news. And I believe that Republicans have to be transparent and have to tell the American people, here's what we're capable of. Now, the reality is when we take back the House in January, we may have a majority and we may have Kevin McCarthy as our Speaker of the House. But here's the reality, Charlie, we may not control the Senate and we will not have the White House. And so we have to set expectations with the American people about what we are able to achieve. That means we will not be able to bring anything into law unless Joe Biden is willing to sign it across on it when it hits his desk. So that'll be very difficult because we know how radical and how hard left Joe Biden is. And we already know that he has no interest in helping Republicans and what our goals are. He's against the police. He's against our border and is allowing it to be invaded. He's wrecking our economy. He doesn't care about reducing crime. And I don't even think he's focused on our country. He's more focused on the borders of Ukraine. And he's more focused on helping China and their energy policies and destroying American energy. So all of the MAGA base and conservatives and America First voters and Americans across the country need to realize that is the position that Republicans are in when we take back the House and we take power in January. So that being said, conducting oversight on committees will be extremely important. There's only two committees that have subpoena power. That's the Oversight Committee and Judiciary. So that's something everyone needs to understand. Now, each committee in the House of Representatives is able to do oversight from their committee, meaning that they can look into the very positions and issues that their committees handle. For example, Homeland Security, they should be providing oversight into Secretary Mayorkas.
And impeach Mayorkas and get him out. The guy is a traitor to the country.
Absolutely. I want Mayorkas impeached, Charlie. You're right. Mayorkas should be impeached. I want Joe Biden impeached.
Yes.
I want Merrick Garland impeached. And those are things that I believe should be done. Now, I'm a lot more aggressive and probably than most of my Republican colleagues. But I believe that we must do these things, because if we don't provide oversight and investigations as strong as we possibly can, then we will be failing our country. We will be failing the American people. We'll be failing our voters, and we will be signaling to the Democrats that if they ever regain power, that we did nothing when we had the opportunity, and they will take it a lot further.
So here's one of the things I think that we need to push for, Marjorie, and this will be my two cents, and I'd love your thoughts, which is you're right, that those two committees, by the old way of doing things, are the only two that could do oversight. But after they created a January 6th committee, Pelosi did, with no other members in the opposition party, I think we should take that precedent and we should have special committees outside of these other ones, the same way they have a January 6th committee. Because here's the thing. We have so much talent. We got you. We got Gates. We got Boebert. We got so much talent. We got Byron Donalds. We got Andy Biggs. We got people that really get it, in my opinion. And so why can't we have a special committee outside of oversight, outside of judiciary? That's all fine. But there's Democrats in those committees. And the new way of doing things is, I don't want you to have to yield time to Democrats anymore. I don't. That's a waste of time. We should have our own committees that are only Republicans, only MAGA Republicans. We need one into the border. We need one into IRS agents and the IRS in general. We need a Church and Pike committee into the FBI. But forget this, like, oh, well, we yield our time in 5 minutes. Like, that's fine. You could do that. That's ceremonial. We need partisan committees the same way they did the January 6th committee. And people say, well, Charlie, you know, you complain that we got to punch back twice as hard. Your thoughts, Marjorie?
Yeah, the January 6th committee, the pushback on the January 6th committee is it's not constitutional because it's not set up properly how the Constitution says that committees need to be set up.
Yeah, but judges don't agree, though, Marjorie. I thought that was right. A judge came in and said it is, so therefore let's do it. Let's make Republican committees. Forget these guys.
You'll have to send that to me. I missed that one. No, I think like you do, Charlie. I think that when we have power, we need to use our power to end the corruption and end the abuse of power that the Democrats have reigned over us, because they have not acted as an American party. They have not acted with our Constitution. As a matter of fact, they've abused their power so brazenly. I've called them communist over and over again. But I do believe that we need to teach them a lesson when we take power in January.
Yes.
And I'm very happy to be one of the loudest voices in hopefully making that happen.
And you know this, they came after you trying to get you off committees and stuff. We should have them on no committees. And I know this sounds, you know, draconian. It was Newt Gingrich who actually recommended on this program and many others, just get Democrats off committees. If we have the majority back, we don't have time to listen to AOC's caterwauling. I don't have time for that, okay? There is nothing useful. They have done nothing but call the semi-fascists. They raid our friends like James O'Keefe and Rudy Giuliani, and they raid Trump's home. They hate MAGA Republicans, and we got to go yield time to Rashida Tlaib. Like, we know what you believe. You've had plenty of time to not look into stuff. And so what I'm getting at, though, is if we take over the House, which I think we will, I'm going to ask you that in a second, I think we have to have all these little pockets of oversight that are created and just say, hey, you got to issue a report by the summer of 2024 on FBI, on CIA, on Ukraine money, on Chinese origins. Because I'm afraid, Marjorie, if we only go through judiciary and only go through these other committees, they're going to be like, well, you know, we really don't have time to look into the origins of COVID, but we could go do some, you know, vanilla milk toast thing. Your thoughts, Marjorie?
Well, I totally agree with you, Charlie. I agree with you 1,000%. If I was Speaker of the House, you would see absolutely all of those things happening. As a matter of fact, I would reign with an iron fist and I would end everything that they have been doing. I would restore the House of Representatives to its order, and I would never, ever allow anyone to abuse the power like they have. And I would make sure that justice is done. Justice should be done for all of what they have done to President Trump, his administration, Republicans, and the American people, innocent American people. They should never use their power to create so much fear and intimidation and the amount of attorney fees people like you and others have had to pay out. It's unbelievable. I sat on a witness stand as the only member of Congress sitting on a witness stand under oath, accused of insurrection, having to defend myself so I could keep my name on the ballot. Listen, I am totally there with you. And to this day, there are people rotting in jail in this town and in Washington, D.C.
You've been one of the only members of Congress that talks about that. You deserve a lot of credit for it, because there's been a lot of suffering for people and political prisoners.
Well, I think they are political prisoners, and they're used as intimidation. And the very problem is people forget that, you know what, we're all the same. And so there's no difference in me as a member of Congress and somebody that just walked into the Capitol. They walked around, and we're all equal. So I don't believe anyone's better than anyone else. And I stand up for those people because I don't agree with what they did. And I know they were charged, but their rights are so violated. Their families are mistreated.
It's terrible.
And they are treated so badly.
Look, you're innocent until proven guilty.
I agree with you.
Yes. And yeah, that's right.
Charlie, I do agree with you. We have to be as aggressive as possible, to hold the Democrats accountable and rein them in. And we should make them pay for what they are doing, not only to us, but what they're doing to this country. Because what they're doing to this country, if it carries on, we're not even going to be able to function anymore.
So, Marjorie, what races are you focusing on? You have a very powerful PAC. You've raised a lot of money, and you're helping a lot of different people. I know we're looking at Caroline Leavitt, who's in a very tough race up against a Marxist in New Hampshire. What other races are you deploying resources towards and spending your time trying to support?
Beau Hines. I've been working very hard to get Beau Hines elected. I have been backing J.D. Vance for the Senate from day one. I'm really hopeful that he wins his race in Ohio. Another one is Blake Masters in Arizona for Senate. Having those two in the United States Senate, Charlie, would be a game changer. And I'm really hoping they win. I absolutely adore Carrie Lake for governor in Arizona. I think she and I are the same. I just love her so much, and I really hope Arizona elects her. I have been backing so many people across the country because I really want fighters in Washington. I want fighters holding political office in states like Arizona and in the Senate, in the House of Representatives, because that's the only way we can save our country, Charlie. And I wish I could tell everybody watching this that it's going to happen overnight, because that's the kind of person I am. Like I said, I'm very aggressive and I want to get things done immediately. But in order for us to completely change America and save our country, this is something that we're going to have to work on every single election cycle. But I'm committed to doing it, and I believe in the long game. And I think that's how we can get things back on track. But for the next 2 years, when Republicans take back the House in January, look, I love your plan of aggression, and I would love to get that done. That would be so incredible and so amazing. You give Matt Gaetz and I our own committee.
Well, that's right.
We could go we have scorched earth.
We got so much talent.
The two of us, he and I together, go scorched earth.
We got
and
talent.
We would solve the whole thing.
We have such smart people. The Democrats, they have no talent. I mean, you look at them. They're boring and they're slow and they're robots. We got free-thinking, courageous people like Gaetz, and we got you, and we got Boebert. And by the way, if we win even half of these races, you could possibly have Caroline Leavitt, you could have Beau Hines, you could have Anna Paulina, you could have Madison Jesietto. You got superstars, and we're just supposed to wait our turn with Tlaib. It's a waste of time. I'm telling you, kick the Democrats off every committee. You got to go full partisan like they did. They have to know that there is a penalty for how they do this remote voting nonsense. Like, no, there's a new party in town. The people have taken over. Yeah, we got to get rid of this proxy voting thing. Is a catastrophe. Really quick, Marjorie, I want to ask you about Nord Stream. And again, we're speculating in some sense here, but it's very suspicious what's happened here. Who do you think actually was behind the act of industrial sabotage behind the Nord Stream pipeline?
Well, I don't know if you saw my tweet thread that I put out late last night. I had been saying, I voted no to every single penny for Ukraine, by the way. And it's not because I'm sorry for the people, that I'm sorry for what's happening to them, but I'm completely against funding foreign wars that are really all about making money in energy deals and funneling U.S. taxpayer dollars into what's labeled humanitarian aid, but really ends up being more like money laundering. And that's what's happening over in Ukraine. And that's another thing that we need oversight and accountability on. I voted no on all of that, and I hate seeing it happen. I knew that it would destroy energy for Europe. I knew it would drive energy costs. I knew that it would give Putin more money than he's ever dreamed of, and now he's making deals with India, with China, and many more countries. This isn't hurting him. This is helping him. And then the other problem is it drove up food costs and is causing hunger in other places in the world, and it's hurting our American farmers, and that really, really makes me angry. And so all of this has been a scam, and it's been just a typical mob boss move of Joe Biden, because that's all he is. It's like a mob boss and a corrupt business dealer. But here's the issue with Nord Stream 2. I think that requires a very serious investigation. But I also agree with President Trump is we need to have very level-headed thinking, because it's so serious. It is extremely serious what happened with Nord Stream 2. And we're looking at obviously an attack. It appears to be an attack, and it appears to be done so, of course, intentionally. And whoever did it we need to hold them accountable. And the real fear is the only person that had anything to gain, or what it appears to be, is, of course, Joe Biden. And he is on record saying it.
I hope the CIA was not behind this. I hope. I pray. Marjorie Taylor Greene, thank you so much. Great job. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.